Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, a don't eat that alert, acetaminophen. Why and how to microchip your pet, and a cat who likes to go to school. We'll start with Microchipping Your Dog by Ernest Ward, DVM, and posted on MonroeVets.com. What is a microchip? A microchip is a tiny transponder about the size of a grain of rice that is encoded with a unique identification number. It's used for permanent identification in pets. The technology is relatively recent, but is becoming widely available. How is the microchip put into my dog? Before insertion, the sterile microchip is scanned in the package to confirm that the identification code of the transponder is the same as that shown on the package barcode label. The needle containing the microchip is loaded into the application gun or syringe, and the pet is positioned for the injection. For dogs and cats, the standard size of microchip placement is in the subcutaneous tissue along the dorsal midline, the spine, between the pet's shoulder blades. For correct placement, the pet should be either standing or lying on the stomach. Some of the loose skin between the shoulder blades is gently pulled up and the needle is quickly inserted. The applicator trigger is squeezed, injecting the transponder or microchip into the tissues. After insertion, the pet is scanned to ensure that the chip is reading properly. Does it hurt to insert the chip? The procedure is fast, safe, and appears to be relatively pain-free in most pets. The chips are usually inserted without incident, even in the tiniest kittens and puppies. The application needle is quite large, and some clients will choose to have the microchip implanted at the time of sterilization so that the pet can be anesthetized for the injection. However, this is not necessary, and the microchip can be implanted at any time that's convenient. Is there anything else I have to do? Once your pet is microchipped, you must register him or her with the appropriate agency. Your veterinarian will provide you with the relevant documents and contact information and will tell you if any fees are required. Failure to register your pet's microchip identification will render the entire process useless. If you move or change your contact information, be sure to update your pet's microchip information. If your pet is lost and recovered, this information is necessary to reunite you with your pet. How is the microchip detected? The microchip can be read with a microchip scanner, which detects the specific electronic code embedded in the chip and displays the identification number on the scanner's screen. Since the occasional microchip may migrate or move out of position, the microchip reader will be passed over the entire body of the pet in order to ensure that the chip will be detected if present. Most, if not all, humane societies and animal shelters now have universal microchip readers and routinely scan all strayed and injured animals. Steps are being taken to standardize the readers and develop databases that can be readily accessed. Are there any other concerns about the safety of microchips in dogs? In 2007, several news articles were published implying that microchips cause cancer. The information was based on research with mice and rats that were genetically bred for their predisposition to developing cancer. No documented cases that link microchips to cancer in dogs exist, and there is no foundation in scientific fact to support this link. Millions of dogs have microchip identification implants without any reported problems. My dog always wears a collar with identification tags. Isn't this enough? Unfortunately, collars can break, fall off, or be removed. When identification tags are new, they are easy to read. However, as they get old and worn, it can become challenging to make out all the information that's on them. And finally, my dog has a tattoo already. Why should I microchip him? Unfortunately, tattoos can be very difficult to read. They are commonly placed in the flank area where they can become obscured by hair, even when they are in the ears. They can become faded over time, and the numbers and letters can become unreadable. They can also be readily altered. Even when they are readable, the information about the pet and its owner can be difficult to obtain since there are no common databases for this information. Microchips cannot be misread, and the identification number is tamper-proof. The information about the pet and the owner is usually readily retrievable from the database. And now for the portion of the program I like to call Don't Eat That, from Monroe Veterinary Associates Pet Health Library, acetaminophen, or Tylenol, Poisoning Alert for Dogs and Cats, by Dr. Colleen M. Elmgren, DVM, from the Pet Poison Helpline. Important: acetaminophen, or Tylenol, is very dangerous to dogs and cats. Acetaminophen, Tylenol, paracetamol, APAP, and acetaminophenol is a pain relief and fever-reducing medicine people use for many types of pain. It's a popular over-the-counter oral medication used alone or in combination with medications for headaches, pain, colds, flu, and menstrual discomfort. It's often combined with other drugs, including aspirin, opioids, antihistamines, decongestants, and caffeine. Acetaminophen comes in tablets, capsules, gel caps, melt-away forms, rectal suppositories, and liquid forms, all which can be easily digested by curious critters. And because you can find acetaminophen in just about any household with dogs and cats, unfortunately, pets are sometimes too easily exposed to accidental poisoning. Why is acetaminophen or Tylenol toxic or poisonous for dogs and cats? While acetaminophen is generally safe at the recommended dose for humans, for dogs and cats, it is toxic, poisonous, or deadly. Relatively small doses, a single pill or even a small piece of a pill, can be toxic or deadly to any animal species: cats, dogs, ferrets, birds, pigs, primates, and many others. Why? Because the metabolism, the mechanisms for breaking down and removing the drug from the body, is often different in animals than it is in humans. For acetaminophen, the altered or abnormal liver metabolism in certain animals puts them at greater risk of harm from acetaminophen exposure. How much acetaminophen or Tylenol is toxic or poisonous for dogs or cats? For cats, it has a narrow margin of safety, and in general, any dose or even tiny doses are considered poisonous. Abnormal red blood cell damage can occur quickly. For dogs, the toxic amount depends on the weight and health of your dog. The larger the dose ingested, the greater the risk. In dogs, liver damage and dry eye can occur. With very high doses, abnormal red blood cell damage can occur. What should I do if my dog or cat eats acetaminophen? If your pet is not doing fine, please follow the emergency instructions below. And here they are. If your dog or cat is showing any signs of distress, immediately and safely transport your pet to your veterinarian or closest veterinary emergency clinic. Scoop up and take any evidence with you, such as the pill bottle, even if it's chewed, the remaining pills, and any additional information you may have. In addition, it may be helpful to take an old blanket or some towels, as poisonous pets may become nauseated and vomit during the car ride. Vomitus should be checked for any evidence of an amount of pill material present before being discarded. If you can't do this, save the evidence, and in most cases, your veterinary staff will check this for you. If the exposure just occurred and your pet appears to be stable, get life-saving treatment advice immediately by contacting your veterinarian or pet poison helpline, a 24/7 animal poison control, at 800-213-6680. 800-213-6680. Try to stay calm and provide the information requested by your veterinarian or pet poison helpline. This information is critical to providing the best possible care options for your dog or cat and to identify if and how poisonous it is. To the best of your ability, provide the following information. Accurate account of the incident, including when it occurred, the amount of medication missing, if you know how many there were before, have someone count the pills while you call for assistance. If any other ingredients were in the pills, such as antihistamine, caffeine, etc., your pet's medical history, including what other medication they may be on. Always consider that any pet with access to medications may have had access to acetaminophen or Tylenol pills, so mention all pets to your veterinarian and pet poison helpline that could have potentially been exposed. The earlier your pet is treated, the less expensive and the better chance for a safe and successful outcome. What are the signs of acetaminophen or Tylenol poisoning in a dog or cat? Pets may show no signs initially, or they may exhibit nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, lethargy, depression, blue gums, weakness, rapid or difficulty breathing, collapse, coma, edema or swelling of the face and paws, especially in cats, transient keratoconjunctivitis, cica, which is dry eye, in dogs, dark urine, and blood and pale, dark, or muddy mucous membranes in the gums. If the ingested acetaminophen was combined with other drugs, such as caffeine, antihistamines, or opioids, your pet may exhibit additional signs, including changes in mental status, ataxia, which is walking as if drunk, hyperactivity, agitation, tremors, seizures, increased or decreased heart rate, changes in blood pressure and body temperature. How is acetaminophen poisoning diagnosed in a cat or dog? Your veterinarian will likely make a presumptive diagnosis if there's possible or known exposure to acetaminophen and or your pet has any of the clinical signs mentioned above. There's a test to detect acetaminophen levels in the blood, but often it can only be run at a specialized laboratory or human hospital. In most cases, it takes too long to receive results because treatment must be started promptly for the health and safety of your pet. In some cases, testing may be used to help confirm the initial diagnosis. Is there an antidote for acetaminophen poisoning? There's no specific antidote for acetaminophen toxicosis, but your veterinarian can administer drugs such as N-acetylcysteine, or NAC, also known as mucomist or acetidote. Antioxidants, such as vitamin C, and liver protectants, such as SAMe and milk thistle, to greatly reduce the risk of liver damage and methemoglobinemia if given soon after the exposure. Seek veterinary attention immediately if you think your dog or cat has been exposed, poisoned by acetaminophen, as NAC must be started as soon as possible to prevent poisoning. Your veterinarian will provide treatment that's tailored to the patient's condition when he or she arrives at the clinic. In general, treatment consists of decontamination, a baseline blood work, and frequent monitoring of liver values, liver protectants such as NAC, SAMe, and Marin, and intravenous or IV fluids. In severely affected patients, additional therapy may be necessary, including oxygen therapy, blood transfusions, monitoring the body's ability to clot, and additional symptomatic and supportive care. What's the prognosis for a dog or cat's recovery if exposed to acetaminophen? In general, the sooner you get treatment and the more aggressive it is, the better the prognosis or chance of recovery for your pet. It could depend on many factors, including the initial health of your pet, the amount of acetaminophen ingested, whether any other drugs were combined with the acetaminophen, how soon decontamination was performed, and whether the pet showed any signs of liver damage, coagulopathy or bleeding disorder, methemoglobinemia or anemia at the time treatment was initiated. Can I prevent my dog or cat from swallowing acetaminophen or Tylenol? Yes. Here are some tips to pet-proof your home and help keep them safe. Never give any human medication to your pet without first consulting your veterinarian. Keep all medications out of reach of your pet. Never leave medications unattended when your pet is around. Keep in mind that pets will knock items off counters. Cats often knock items off counters only to have the dogs ingest them off the floor. Pets will sometimes open lower cabinets, chew through pill bottles, and never even stop, even if the pills aren't the tastiest. Their sense of taste and smell is different from ours. If you drop a pill and can't find it, first confine your pet to another area of the home, and then continue your search for the missing medication. Pets are quick and will often grab it before you can find it. In many cases, even one dropped pill may pose a significant risk for your pet. Pets are curious and often love to check out items in the home, including purses, backpacks, lunchboxes, and suitcases. Remind children and visitors to keep all medications, including vitamins and supplements, out of your pet's reach. Always remember to keep your pet happy and healthy by minimizing potential risks in the home environment. With any poisoning, get help immediately. It's less dangerous to your pet and less expensive for you to treat early. The Pet Poison Helpline is an animal poison control service available 24 hours, 7 days a week for pet owners and veterinary professionals who require assistance treating a potentially poisoned pet. Pet Poison Helpline is available in North America by calling 800-213-6680. Additional information can be found online at petpoisonhelpline.com. Next, anorexia in cats. This was written by Robin Dowling, DVM, and posted on MonroeVets.com. What is anorexia? Anorexia is a decrease or loss of appetite for food. While hunger is physiologically driven, appetite is psychologically driven. There are two types of anorexia: true anorexia and pseudo-anorexia. Both result in decreased food intake. But a cat with pseudo-anorexia wants to eat, is hungry, but can't because of difficulty picking up, chewing, or swallowing food or some other cause. Regardless of whether a cat is dealing with true or pseudo-anorexia, decreased appetite and decreased food intake are outward signs that should be taken seriously. These signs may indicate potentially life-threatening underlying conditions. Poor appetite or refusal to eat is strongly associated with illness and is a common reason for cat owners to seek veterinary care. What causes anorexia and pseudo-anorexia? There are many potential explanations for decreased food consumption, and the first, most important step is to determine whether the cat has true or pseudo-anorexia. Does he want to eat but can't, or is he truly not interested in eating? Your veterinarian will want to take a detailed history to begin to differentiate between the two conditions. Next, he or she will give your cat a thorough physical examination to try to determine the presence of an obvious physical explanation for decreased food consumption. Finally, diagnostic tests will be used to aid in uncovering a reason for decreased appetite. These may include laboratory tests such as a complete blood count, or CBC, and a serum chemistry profile, electrolytes, mineral balance, radiographs or x-rays of the chest and abdomen, ultrasound studies, and, depending on other findings, more invasive diagnostics like endoscopy. Potential explanations for pseudo-anorexia, in which a cat wants to eat but won't or has difficulty eating, include stomatitis, gingivitis, or esophagitis, inflammation and pain within the tissues of the mouth and throat. Advanced periodontal disease, which may include loose teeth, an abscess behind the eye, pain in the mastication or chewing muscles, pain in the temporomandibular joint or TMJ, salivary gland disease, nervous system disease affecting chewing and swallowing, cancer or tumors of the mouth, tongue, tonsils, or associated structures, pain anywhere in the body. Chronic pain is very distracting. It may interfere with appetite or with the cat's ability to reach his food and water dishes on the floor if, for instance, he is dealing with back pain. True anorexia can also have various causes. Systemic disease, whether it involves infection or an organ system dysfunction, can lead to anorexia. Psychological explanations such as stress, altered routines, changes in the environment, or undesirable or unpalatable food. Exposure to poisons, immune system imbalance disease, inability to smell. Scent is an important contributor to palatability of food and appetite. Any painful condition can suppress appetite. Cancers of all types, gastrointestinal or GI blockage, stomach or intestinal ulcer, nausea from any cause, high environmental temperature, and medication side effects. How are anorexia and pseudo-anorexia treated? To decrease food intake, whether from true anorexia or pseudo-anorexia, it is critical to identify and correct the underlying problem. That part of treatment will depend completely on what the diagnosis is. Associated or additional treatment will focus on treating or managing related symptoms. For instance, if the cat is dehydrated, then intravenous fluids may be needed. Any nausea must be eliminated. If it is appropriate, your veterinarian may prescribe short-term appetite stimulant such as cyproheptadine or mirtazapine. If there is a mineral imbalance like low potassium, which can interfere with normal appetite, then a potassium supplement will be added. It may be useful to enhance the palatability of the cat's food. Your veterinarian can help you with specific recommendations, but simple steps to try include adding a canned formula to the diet, heating food to approximately body temperature, about 100 degrees Fahrenheit, adding a bit of low-sodium chicken, vegetable, or beef broth for flavor enhancement, temporarily home cooking with guidance from your veterinarian as to appropriate recipes. Occasionally, an anorectic cat who has an underlying metabolic disorder must receive nutrients but is unwilling to eat. In these cases, it may be necessary for your veterinarian to place a feeding tube into the esophagus, stomach, or small intestine through a small incision in the skin. Feeding tubes are generally not considered heroic interventions, but they are nearly always life-saving. Food and medication can be delivered with very little stress on the cat. If the GI system is capable of digestion, it should be used, even if that means delivering food through a tube for a while. If the GI system is not working for some reason, your veterinarian may recommend what is called parenteral feeding, in which nutrition is provided intravenously. Parenteral feeding is a specialized, complicated technique generally performed by a specialist in a referral center. Tube feeding and parenteral nutrition are most often undertaken as bridge procedures until the cat can eat on its own. Sudden inappetence in cats, especially overweight or obese cats, is particularly dangerous because of the risk of liver failure or hepatic lipidosis. What is the takeaway message? Regardless of the reason for decreased food intake, changes in eating habits and patterns warrant investigation. Lost or decreased appetite may signal something serious and may contribute to a serious consequence, or outcome. Take changes in your cat's eating behavior seriously and get your veterinarian involved early. And finally, Bubba the cat attends school so much they made him a student. This was written by Krissa Hardy for Petcha. Not everyone loves going back to school, but Bubba can't seem to get enough. Attending high school is fun, but can also be kind of a drag. There's so much pressure to be cool. You have puberty and awkward breakouts to deal with, and you have to master the art of getting good grades on minimal study time. But as it turns out, the high school experience is entirely different for cats. And a cat named Bubba can't get enough of the high school life. Bubba is 10 years old and is currently on his 8th year of school. First, he hung out at the middle school in San Jose, California, but he has since moved up to high school. His owner, Amber Marienthal, told Petcha.com, Bubba is a legend at school without even trying. He walks over to the Leland High School during the day and comes home at night. Sometimes he'll hang out at the school on weekends and during the summer. He's even spent several nights in classrooms after wandering in for a nap while the custodian is cleaning. The students and teachers love him and are totally used to seeing Bubba strolling around campus. And he's there so often that the school even made him an official student. Bubba graduated with the class of 2017. But that hasn't stopped him from showing up in class. Even though he technically graduated with his class of 2017, he's still going, Marienthal told Petcha. Apparently, Bubba has yet to choose a favorite subject in school or even a favorite classroom. Marienthal tells us that Bubba goes to whoever has the treat bag open and a chair to nap on. High school kids, take notes from Bubba. He's officially the coolest kid in class. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks for listening. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.